She did a good job this morning. I appreciate her. It's she has many talents, and one of these days we'll get to the bottom of all of them, but I don't know. It's a tough one. Whenever you call on her, she goes, "Sure, I can do that." It amazes me. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter number 39. John, don't go that far. John chapter number 5. John chapter number 5. Verse number 39. Verse 39 says, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" Heavenly Father, God, as we open your word tonight, oh God, open our eyes to what you have and our ears. But Lord, don't just stop there. Lord, allow our feet momentum to follow through, nor to do, to be doers of your word. Oh God, work in us tonight. Lord, for myself, once again, empty me of self. Fill me with the Holy Spirit, that what is said and done will give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees at this point, and he says, basically, in a command, search the scriptures. And we have a group of men who were very prideful in their studies, in their taking and weighing every word and weighing every phrase and comparing the scriptures and searching them back and forth. And he says, search the scriptures. And as he's talking to them, you can almost see the look on their face. Do you not realize who we are? We have the parable that Jesus tells of the Pharisee and the publican, and how the one is standing out in the public going, lifting his eyes toward heaven and in a loud voice saying, "I thank you, God, for making me who I am." And they're a very prideful group, a very knowledgeable group in their own right, though. Not to take anything away from their studies, not take anything away from their efforts. But Jesus says, search the scriptures. In 1 Peter 1:12, we see, "Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into." We have the ability to do what Jesus is commanding the Pharisees to do, to search the scriptures. And here the angels, they look down on our salvation, they look down on the grace that God has had on us, the mercy that God has had on us. They desire to look into that. And they look at the scriptures and, boy, they see what Jesus is talking about. But are we, as Christians today, like the Pharisees of old, in that God says things in the scriptures, God instructs in the scriptures, and yet he's having to command us today to search them? In Ephesians chapter number 3, keep your finger there, in John chapter 5, we'll still be there, but Ephesians chapter number 3, verses 8 through 10, Paul is talking. He says unto me, who am less than the least of all this, of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. As we look here in John chapter number 5, and starting in verse number 39, as God tells the Pharisees to search the scriptures, do we do the same thing? I've said before, and I believe that even today in every passage in the Bible, it's talking about Jesus. Where it gives the genealogies, that's talking about Jesus. That's clarifying who he was. The legitimacy of his heritage. But when we are questioning things and when we are looking for answers, where do we go? Do we follow after what Jesus said? Do we go and search the scriptures, or do we search other places? And I realize that Google and Wiki and all of those online search engines have become very popular of late. But when we're having worldly problems, when we're having spiritual problems, when we're having personal problems, if Jesus were to speak out loud to us today, what would be his response? Would he be able to because he knows us and he knows where we're at and where we are spiritually and where our thoughts are at and where our heart is at, would he be able to just put his arm around us and say, "You see this?" Or would he look at us in the eye and go, "Search the scriptures. Quit looking everywhere else and look what I have said about this circumstance, about this issue." In Isaiah chapter number 34, verse number 16, the first part of the verse says, "Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read, no one of these shall fail." Psalms 119, verse number 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." I like how the King James separates the word "for" and "ever." But when you're typing it, the new computers want to join that together. They tell you have a misspelled word in your sentence. They want to make it one word, "forever." But I like how the King James has it, "forever." The finality of it, the certainty of it, "forever." 1 Peter 1:25, Peter says, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you." We don't have to worry about whether or not God is going to change his mind at some point or go, "Oh, I was just kidding and things are different." But even as the Bible says, not one jot or tittle shall pass. As we're studying through the book of Revelation and understanding as we went through chapter number 15 this morning and verse number 8 and how God is going to bring the judgment that he has been promising. And that ought to be, in some sense, a happy time. Knowing that even in that verse that God's promises are fulfilled. But as Christians, and knowing that the book of Revelation is written for our comfort, for edification, for our instruction, but knowing at that time, many, many are going to die. Go to a devil's hell for their actions. But God says, "Search the scriptures." Isaiah 40, verse number 8 says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." As we read the Bible, do we apply what it says, or do we ignore the parts we don't like? Because that's what the Pharisees were doing in this, as Jesus was talking to them, and they were questioning him and who sent him and what authority he had. And he says, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. We read the Bible and we say, oh yes, if it's in the Word of God, I believe it. But do we apply it? And you could have talked to any one of the Pharisees and if you'd have done a one-on-one interview with them, stuck a microphone and a camera in their face and said, hello, I see you just got done visiting with Jesus. And he told you to search the scriptures. And I know that you have searched the scriptures, and I know that you're there. What do you see concerning him? And today, many are doing the exact same things that they would respond to you with. They would say, oh, there is talk of a Messiah, but this isn't him. There's talk of a Redeemer, but this isn't him. There's talk of somebody, but this isn't him. And even as Jesus was choosing disciples, and one of them said, can any good thing come? But Jesus' response to them and to us today is search the scriptures. The second thing he says is, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. When we look through the scriptures, do we know that we have eternal life? So many people today involved in so many different religions and so many different organizations, and you talk to them and they give you the right answers. And they think they have eternal life. But when you start narrowing it down, they start saying, well, I'm a good person. Boy, it's hard to be convinced. Spoke to a lady yesterday as Darlene and I were out knocking doors, and she said, oh, I have been in this church since I was a baby. She called herself a cradle Christian. She goes, but I appreciate you knocking on doors because there's somebody that needs you guys. Mm-hmm. We walked away and I told Darlene, I hope that we don't find anybody that needs us, because they will be so sadly disappointed. I hope we find somebody that needs what we have in Jesus. I hope we find somebody that needs Jesus. But boy, if they need us, boy, they're out of luck. But we don't have the answers outside of the Word of God. We don't have salvation outside of the blood of Jesus. Philippians chapter number 3, verses 3 through 8. Paul once again talking, and understand that where Paul is coming from. And can you imagine Paul standing in front of these same Pharisees that Jesus got done, just finished telling to search the scriptures? And they came up with whatever reasons or whatever excuses amongst themselves that the Bible doesn't record. And here's Paul. Verse number 3 says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things are gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Can you imagine he's standing in front and he's a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and his response to them, wow. That his very testimony. But was Paul always that way? We know the story of Paul as he was earlier, that his name was Saul, and he went and persecuted the Christians. You know the story of how he received warrants for the arrest to bring him back to Jerusalem to stand trial for heresy, basically. And as he's on his way to Damascus, God speaks to him. He, for all intents and purposes, could have been one of these. His attitude was the same up until he was laid flat on his back on the street. You think you have eternal life. But Jesus says, search the scriptures, and they are they which testify of me. Boy, as we go through the scriptures, we ought to be excited about reading all of the Old Testament, reading all of the New Testament, and seeing Jesus. Seeing his working, seeing his promise, seeing God setting it up for his sacrifice on the cross. Luke chapter number 24, verse number 27. It says, in the beginning of Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Jesus didn't just tell them that, oh, you need to search the scriptures. He was very good at showing them. Opening up the scriptures, beginning at Moses, all the prophets, and showing them where it talked about him. How many times have we read through the Bible and seen something where God is talking to us, and we go, oh, yeah, if only so-and-so would read that part. And we skip right on to something else. The Pharisees, as Jesus was opening the scriptures to them, could not see Jesus standing in front of them in the written pages of the book they believed. What a difference from those Pharisees that Jesus is showing the scriptures to the two men on the road to Emmaus. Our response ought to be like the two men on the road to Emmaus when we pick up our Bible and God opens the pages to us and we read and we see him move, and our it ought to be the same. Oh, what a fire that burns in us. We ought to be excited about the words between the pages of these books. Oh, Pastor, it's not always that. Well, I agree. There are times when my thought pattern is not where it ought to be. There's times when I have other things on my mind. There's times when things aren't going the way I think they ought to. And they sit down to read the Bible, and no other words don't spring off the page. And there's been more than once where I've had to go back and sit down and spend the same amount of time reading the exact same passage because I go, Lord, there was something there and I missed it this morning. I was distracted. I apologize. Forgive me. Lord, show me you in the scriptures. Oh God, excite me. Start a fire in me. These poor Pharisees, as God tells them this, Acts chapter number 13, verse 46, Paul and Barnabas are talking to him. It says, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it is necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Oh, what a glorious day that is for us. Well, if you don't see glory, if you don't see excitement, if you don't see fire in Acts 13:46, boy, there's something wrong. Because of that, we have salvation. Because somebody preached it to the Jews first, and they said no, and Paul and Barnabas took it to the Gentiles. And through the scriptures we see that, hey, we were included in. We don't have to be anything other than what we were born. A sinner. 1 John 5:12. Verse number 40 of John chapter number 5 says, "And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life." 1 John 5:12 says, "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Oh, we look back a couple of chapters in the book of John, and Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. He was afraid of what other people would say about him, afraid of what other people would think about him. He was unsure of what was going on. I can see him sneaking over to where Jesus was staying, hoping nobody recognized him. Hoping that he was in the part of the neighborhood where nobody would notice. But Nicodemus gets reported for all eternity as going to Jesus. But all because he went to Jesus, we see where Jesus showed him how to have eternal life. And here these men are standing there questioning Jesus, questioning his authority, questioning what he's allowed to do. And he says, "You won't come to me that you might have life." When life isn't going our way, when things aren't going the way they ought to, where do we go? Do we search the scriptures? Do we go to Jesus? Or do we run off to somewhere else? Jesus says in verse 41, he says, "I receive not honor from men." He wasn't concerned about that. His whole concern was giving honor to God. Verse 42, he says, "But I know you." If we were standing and Jesus started in verse number 39 face to face with us and said, "Search the scriptures," and then we get down to 42, he'd say the same thing. The first part, "But I know you." When he looked in our eyes and we heard those words out of his lips, "But I know you." Because he says the same thing in Revelations 2 and 3. "I know thy works. I know you." Are we happy that Jesus knows us? He continues with the Pharisees and says that ye have not the love of God in you. They're not saved. You go, "Pastor, I'm saved. And it won't be one of those where Jesus says, 'Depart from me, I never knew you.'" But he knows me. Praise God if that's the case, then and if it's not, what make that the case? That Jesus knows you. But you go, "Pastor, I'm already saved," but then you picture yourself looking in Jesus' eyes, because one of these days we will. Oh, if the Lord tarries and this body wears out and I die, no, I'm going to go see my Savior. But if the trumpet sounds, will I be excited that it won't be just me suddenly springing up into the air? That maybe Jesus will be distracted by a bunch of other people and he won't look into my eyes and go, "I know you." Because are there things in my life where if God were to look in my eyes and say, "I know you," would I be going, "Oh, man. I like the fact that I'm saved, Lord, but there's some things about me that as it says in the Bible, brother, these things ought not so to be." When Jesus looked in our eyes and go, "I know you," some stuff lacking. Verse 43 says, I come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. And then that was predicted in the first chapter of John, where he says he came into his own and his own received him not. I don't think God was surprised. I don't think Jesus was surprised as he's talking to these Pharisees that I came and you won't receive me. But he predicts something that's going to continue happening. If another shall come in his own name, him he will receive. All the world is chasing after stuff. Looking for things that satisfy. Looking for things to fill the holes. Looking for things to make a difference. Heard the testimony of a young man, I'm guessing young man, I don't know how old he is. He said he was raised in the church, but when he got old enough, he went out on his own and he got away from the church and he studied. It always bothers me when somebody says, and I got away from the church. Because if you're not leaving Good News Baptist Church, you're not getting out of Good News Baptist Church, you're not getting out of whatever church you attend or belong to, you're stepping away from God. Unless he looks you in the eye and says, but I know you and ye have not the love of God in me. And then I'm not stepping away from Jesus. I'm just still in the world that I was always in. But this young man says he gets old enough to go out on his own and he leaves the church. And he tries all of these Eastern mysticism and Buddhism and all of these things, trying to find something that would make sense, something that would fill the gap in his life, fill the need that he had for, because the church wasn't making any sense. And it's so sad that young people and churches across America aren't being taught the Word of God, aren't being given the foundation, as we discussed this morning in the morning service, aren't being told how to find the answers to their issues. And they go out in the world and they seek world's wisdom for godly problems. And they embrace those things. In verse 44, he says, how can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? We're always looking for and doing things, and there seems to be awards for everything anymore. And accolades for everything anymore. Was watching a commercial the other day, and the guy is handed a trophy for his son, and he looks at it and it's a participation trophy. And I appreciate it. He got upset. He goes, I don't want my son to grow up with an appreciation trophy. I want my son to grow up with a participation. I want him to grow up with a I did something trophy. But all so much the time as Christians, we're seeking honor amongst men. And one of these days, Jesus is going to look in our eyes and he's going to say, I know you. And there's some things that don't honor me. Oh, you made friends with folks around you. You received a lot of accolades. You received a lot of, but there's stuff in your life that I'm not. Verse 45 through 47, he says, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. Jesus wasn't talking to them and saying, hey, search the scriptures, I know you and the love of God isn't in you, but don't think I'm going to run back to Dad and tell him. Jesus, it says, didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He says, I will. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? In Deuteronomy chapter number 18, Moses is writing and talking about Deuteronomy chapter number 18, verse number 15, it says, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. Verses 18 and 19, it says, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. Because one of these days, ignorance is no excuse, and one of these days, God's going to require something of us. We have the opportunity, we have the freedom, we have so many freedoms in America, and yes, they're disappearing quickly. But you often wonder how many Christians will bemoan the fact that we're no longer allowed to own a Bible, but never read it when they had it. How many Christians will bemoan the fact that they're not allowed to do this or that when they didn't do it before? And I realize things have gone different than what we would desire. The Bible is not allowed in the schools any longer, in the public school system. Prayer isn't allowed by somebody in a position of authority, and on and on. But before we complain about that, what were we doing while it was still available? And some of us are fortunate because they weren't born when it was available. They go, well, it's not my fault. But today we're losing freedoms left and right. What are we doing about it now? And are we searching the scriptures? Are we reading the Bible that God has given us while we still have the freedom to do so? Or will we join the crowds complaining about the fact that we're not allowed to have a Bible anymore? Oh, Pastor, that'll never happen in America. Brother Frank and I were talking about earlier this morning, there's a bunch of stuff that's happened that we'd have thought never would happen in America. God's going to bring us around to be in alignment and in accordance with His Word, one way or another. And I remember growing up, it was always easier to do what Dad wanted when Dad wanted it done, and to do it later, after losing benefit and blessings that I could have had. Heavenly Father, oh God, as we come before you tonight, Lord, encourage us in our search through the scriptures.